My name's Matt, and I'm an addict. And don't worry about me bringing up It Works, How and Why to the podium. I'm not one of those speakers that's going to read at you at length or yell at you or anything like that. Honestly, I'm just forgetful, and I take guidance and direction from our literature, and I feel a certain measure of security when I know I have it to fall back on. Before I get started, I want to say thank you, and thank you to the World Board Program Work Group, to the staff at the World Service Office who are working tirelessly throughout this weekend, to the WCNA support team, everybody, for just fantastic, fantastic effort in bringing us all together. You know, I want to home in on a theme, and that theme is the theme of the convention, in the spirit of unity. And it always helps me to kind of try to stick with a topic. And I hear some things sometimes from members in the fellowship, and who knows, I might have been guilty of propagating kind of some of the same stuff myself. I hear members a lot of times say, the program in Narcotics Anonymous is in the steps. The program is the steps. The program is the steps. And it is true that this is, as quiet as it's kept, a 12-step program, and it certainly would be a shame, and sometimes is a shame, that some of our members come to Narcotics Anonymous and don't truly avail themselves of the 12 steps. There's so much more to Narcotics Anonymous. The steps are obviously our foundation for freedom and spiritual growth, but I have a grand sponsor who tends to look at the literature and see things kind of somewhat concretely for the way things are written. And we have a reading called What is the NA Program? And What is the NA Program starts right out with saying that NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women. So I would suggest to you that looking around here amongst each other in San Diego at this convention, just for today, right now, we are NA. And this is one of those times I like to look at It Works, How and Why, because I wanted to look at the spirit of unity and really try to embrace that. And I'm certain that there's a lot of different definitions of unity out there, and I could have probably gone to Webster's and found a few. But I went to It Works, How and Why in Tradition 1, and it was the only place I needed to look because I found a powerful definition of unity. In fact, it's so good that it's used in It Works, How and Why twice. Unity is the spirit that joins thousands of members around the world in a spiritual fellowship that has the power to change lives. Again, this is NA. I never thought, you know, and I'm a cheerleader for NA, because I, like so many of us, when they say if you came to NA and you listed your expectations or your dreams, you would have sold yourself short. I never thought for a second that I would maintain any long-term recovery in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. When I got clean in the small town of Sonoma, in Northern California, in 1986. All 10 of them are here. I walked into the meetings of Narcotics Anonymous in that town with a very specific set of guidelines or ideals of what I would like for you all to provide for me in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I wanted to stop the immediate and intense short-term emotional and physical pain that I was feeling at that moment. And I wanted to hopefully learn and pick up just enough information from you guys that I would be able to socially use marijuana on weekends. Those were my lofty goals when I came into the rooms. I never imagined that I would be standing here before you, 43 years old, with almost 25 years clean in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I never imagined that I would be clean over half my life in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. For better or worse, I'm an NA kid. I grew up in these rooms, literally. Still a lot of work to go. I never imagined that I would have the quality of life and the friendships across the planet that I have today. You know, I went to the European Convention in Malmo, Sweden, 2 weeks ago. Fantastic. I've become a big ECCNA fan. And I met friends from Finland, from Russia, from Sweden, from all over. You know, I shed a tear, literally, because a friend of mine from Lithuania wasn't going to be at the convention. You know, Narcotics Anonymous, this is family worldwide for all of us. I never imagined I'd get to this point, that I would be here today. I didn't think I'd live beyond the age of 25. And what I've come to realize is that I've had a profound spiritual awakening in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, a lot of times we hear it quoted that NA offers only one promise, freedom from active addiction. There is a somewhat hidden second promise in the fulfillment of working the 12 steps, because the 12th step tells you in past tense that by the time you were there, you will have had a spiritual awakening. An awakening as a result of working these steps. And I was so glad that that little introductory video that we watched prior to kicking this off made a reference to the not yet approved piece of literature called Living Clean. So I won't feel too far out of bounds if I do the same. I know if you have a problem with that, our 4-step guide is approved, so you may use that. That piece of literature describes one spiritual awakening that many of us have had, and I've had it, and I can't even tell you the exact day, the exact moment, or the exact time I've had it, but I have. And that is this. So many of our members, including myself when I was new, and we hear it from the newcomer all the time, they come into NA, they look around the rooms, and they say, I can't imagine I have to come to these meetings and sit with these people and listen to this stuff and never use anything for the rest of my life? Well, I want to tell you that the magic and the gift of the 12 steps and the program of Narcotics Anonymous is that you will get to a point where you've had that awakening of the spirit, where one day you will realize that you cannot possibly imagine your life without Narcotics Anonymous. And that's where I'm at. I make no apologies for being a full-on NA cheerleader today. You know, one of the places I've learned the most about unity in Narcotics Anonymous is through doing service in NA. And I'm really blessed that I got clean in a small town, in a small group, at the exact time and the exact moment I was supposed to start this journey of recovery. Because opportunities for service were abundant, and there were no opportunities for me to hide or evade if I wanted to stay clean and continue to come around here. And it's through working with each other in Narcotics Anonymous that we get to really practice these principles with each other and grow around here. There's a member of my home group that says God speaks to us through the loving abrasion of others in NA, you know. And certainly I don't know of any arena where that's more true than sometimes organized service. You know, I've had a lot of abrasion, and I'm sure I've done a lot of abrading, if that's even a word. But when I got clean in a small group that was really struggling. There were only 3 meetings a week. In fact, one of them, the Sunday night meeting, we were all kind of sure that the secretary was still using and maybe even taking some money from the basket. But none of us wanted to confront him because no one wanted to step up and take the secretary job. But see, I'm one of those addicts that relapse is part of my story. You know, I came around the rooms for a little while. I sat on death row in the back of the meetings and judged and took inventory and convinced myself I was different or that I could socially use that certain drug, and I picked up. And the progressive nature of the disease of addiction is such that when I came back to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, almost on my knees on October 11th, 1986, I knew for a doubt, without a doubt, that I had to commit myself 100% to this thing, that my disease wants to kill me, that it's slippery, that it will want to isolate me, alienate me, convince me I'm different, and I need to get involved. And I was so blessed because I walked into a small group where if you didn't help set up the literature wasn't put out. If you didn't set up the chairs or do the coffee, you know, there wasn't going to be a meeting because there was only a few of us. And I'm so grateful because I learned about having an NA home group. You know, we had a member from Florida come out and visit our home group and explain to us you need to have a home group. And we didn't know what we were doing. Like, okay, we'll have a home group. What's that? You know, but we learned that that's where we show up regularly and we make a commitment to be seen and see each other and develop real and meaningful and lasting relationships, you know. And we struggled. You know, when I got clean, you know, there were the three little NA meetings in our community center. There were 35 meetings a week of the other fellowship downstairs from us. They had their own special meeting hall. You know, they practically owned the building. And we struggled. We struggled mightily, you know, to understand and use the literature and figure out how to get this thing going. We didn't know about Unity and that we could go over to Santa Rosa, where Narcotics Anonymous had been around since 1966, and ask some of our predecessors to come show us the way. So we struggled, but we also grew together. And there was a time where things were divisive and some of our members left. Some of our members went to that other fellowship downstairs and decided, you know, the 35 meetings a week that they have would be their solution. But I remember one night when we all got together in the coffee shop, you know, down the street from the meeting hall to talk about what we were going to do as a group and how we were going to kind of pull it together and get these folks from Santa Rosa to help us. And we made a commitment that night amongst those home group members that no matter what, we weren't going to leave and we weren't going to go to another fellowship. We were going to get clean, stay clean, and recover Narcotics Anonymous, or we were going to die trying. And it's a blessing because I stand here 24 years later and I've seen members of that home group that were at that meeting today. You know, one of the most powerful instances I've had of unity, several actually, have been at World Conventions of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I shared with you that I got clean in a very small town. I was one of those addicts that used a lot of speed drugs, also get thin drugs, I guess. Madeline said, you know, I was very paranoid and consequently lived in a very small world. I was taken to treatment about 18 miles away from home once, and I fled, ran away, turned around and, you know, with my head ducked low and walked back into the treatment center because I realized I didn't know how to get home. But as I was approaching 5 years clean, the World Convention of Narcotics Anonymous was in Sydney, Australia, 1991. I'd never been anywhere outside my city in my life, but I knew I wanted to go and experience the Worldwide Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And having not really been an experienced traveler, you know, I didn't really know how to do this thing. And I had some friends that were going to go with me, but as the convention drew nearer and the experience became more potentially expensive to go, they all kind of dropped off. But an amazing thing happened. You know, I got it together to get a visa at the last minute, to get an airfare, and just jump on a plane. And I don't know if it was blind faith, self-will, or recklessness or what, but I just flew nonstop from San Francisco straight into Sydney about a week and a half prior to the World Convention. No prior hotel reservations or real plan of where I was going to go, but I did bring my luggage. I got into the airport. I grabbed a cab. I just said, take me to downtown Sydney. I'll figure it out. I got dropped off in King's Cross, which our Australian members know is quite a fantastic place to end up getting loaded. And there I am on the street with my luggage and no plan. So I pick up a phone on the street, a payphone, realizing I'd probably better get to an NA meeting since I have no other plan. I can't figure out how to dial the number and make it work, and am I supposed to do the country code and 10 or whatever. I give up. I just dial the operator. The operator gets the NA helpline to me. I get on the helpline. A live addict actually answers, which is a miracle in itself. for a lot of us. And they tell me that there's an NA meeting around the corner and up, you know, up the stairs from me in this little building. So I grab my luggage, I scurry up there, I go sit in this little meeting. And I'm sitting here in Sydney, Australia, and I'm in this group, and something just wasn't quite right. There's like 12 guys in this meeting, and they all clearly kind of know each other. So I just kind of sit in there with them, and they welcome me and everything else. And as the meeting goes on, I start to realize these guys are all in a treatment facility together. And another guy comes into the meeting, and he's someone I recognized through some brief interactions in service. You know, I was one of those addicts that got clean and decided that I was immediately ready to take over management and control of Narcotics Anonymous. I was the guy, and you guys probably all have these in your area or in your region, so I'll apologize on behalf of all of us. I was the guy at 2.5 years clean that went to region because they weren't quite doing it right and they needed my guidance and experience. I went to my first World Service Conference at 3.5 years clean because I needed to have a conversation with the executive director and help kind of set him straight and help get NA on its proper course. And one of the things that happened was they put me in a room at this World Service Conference in 1990 with an addict named Greg P. And Greg was one of our oldest, longest members of Narcotics Anonymous. So I'm sitting there in this hotel with him at 3.5 years clean and trying to explain to him how it works. And he starts pulling out pieces of literature he wrote in the 70s, and, you know, that's how that went. But another addict came into that room, an addict named Garth P., and I met Garth briefly and talked to him. And there I am, you know, a short time later in that little meeting in Sydney, and Garth P. walks into that same meeting and recognizes me. And that meeting gets over, and I don't realize it, but Garth's kind of running this treatment facility that all these guys in the meeting are in. And so they pull up the special little, you know, short bus, the treatment white van with the tinted windows, and they all start piling in the bus, and they pick up my luggage and throw it in the bus, and they throw me in the bus too, like I'm in treatment. And I'm sitting there on the curb with almost 5 years clean, and I'm thinking, well, I really don't have any place to go. I guess I'll go to treatment. But I will never forget, because it was a life-altering experience for me. The members from the Sydney Fellowship took me around, showed me the sights for the next 2 weeks, made sure I had, you know, some place to sleep, a meal, got to see things, and had a fantastic World Convention experience. And they drove home for me that no matter where I go worldwide in Narcotics Anonymous, I am home. I am truly home. I want to touch briefly on the God thing and the, you know, the spirit. You know, I'm one of those addicts that struggled a lot with higher power when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I, too, had a lot of confusion from family members. And, you know, I have grandparents that are real fundamentalist, born-again Christians. And for many years, they would send me cards on my birthday, you know, saying, we're very glad that you're clean and we love you. We've made arrangements for you to go get baptized because we don't want you to burn in hell. And you clearly are if you don't go take care of this. And it took me a lot of work and time in the program to realize that that is their way of telling me that they love me, you know, as twisted as it may be. So needless to say, I had a lot of confusion and contradiction about the God thing when I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And there's been periods of my life and my recovery where I've questioned the God thing and I've struggled. But the one thing I know is no matter how much I've questioned things, I've continued to show up. I've continued to show up and gain an understanding of the fact that I don't need to have an understanding. You know, when we say God as we understood him and the steps, you know, that's implying that we have that right to come to our own understanding, but it doesn't guarantee that we're going to have an understanding. And it might be somewhat arrogant for me to think that I'm ever really going to truly understand God or the work of God. I do know that God's will for me is to continue to work the steps in Narcotics Anonymous. No matter what other paths I should be taking in my life, I find solace and comfort and direction in continuing to work the 12 steps. when I avail myself to them. But one of the early experiences I had that really put me to the test was, you know, I got clean in an adolescent treatment facility. And I got clean in one of those little 28-day spin-dry programs. And I got clean with a sweet young woman named Tabitha, who had was 16 years old. And I was 18 at the time. And we made one of those treatment packs. You know, you're caught up in the moment, and it's like, we're going to stay clean for a million years and go to 500 conventions and, you know, be best friends for life and all those things. And you feel that, and you believe that when you're the newcomer. The bonds we make in these rooms are so powerful. And I got out of treatment, and we agreed to meet each other at this Friday night meeting in Sonoma. And I went to the Friday night meeting, and she never showed up. And I was awakened early Saturday morning to find out that she was killed in a car accident on her way to the meeting. And I was less than 60 days clean, and I was called upon to be a pallbearer at Tabitha's funeral. So I had to get a suit and lower the casket of my 16-year-old friend into the ground. And I certainly was angry at God at that time, and confused and full of contradiction. And there was an 11-year-old girl, Tabitha's younger sister, Heidi, who was crying and asking me, why would this happen? Why would God take my sister when she just found this program in Narcotics Anonymous and she was working so hard to get this thing and be a part of this thing and turn her life around? And I had no answers. I continued to be confused. I continued to be hurt and angry. But I continued to keep coming back. And I continued to show up because I honestly didn't know what else to do. I came back from that world convention in Sydney at 5 years clean, and it was the 5-year anniversary of Tabitha's death. And I went into a meeting in Santa Rosa, and I just needed to share. And I shared that I missed my friend and that I wish she was there to experience that convention with me. The meeting ends, and this 16-year-old girl comes up to me with tears in her eyes, holding a 90-day key tag. She says, "You might not remember me, but I'm Tabitha's younger sister, Heidi." And I am so glad that you stayed clean and continued to stay in Narcotics Anonymous, because I feel like there is a part of my sister's spirit that is here and that was waiting for me to arrive. In that second, in that moment, I had a fleeting glimpse of our higher power's will for us, or my higher power's will for me, and the power of this collective spirit of unity that we experience in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to close with something else that talks about spirit, and again, it's from our literature. So I want us to think about this as we go through the course of this weekend and this convention, and we embrace each other in the spirit of unity. As we stand at a precipice at an amazing time in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, there are now as many meetings in Narcotics Anonymous outside the United States as there are in. This is no longer... This is no longer a California-based program. And as much as some don't get it, this is not a U.S. program. This is a God-given program. We all are just fortunate enough to be stewards. And my obligation as an NA member is to be as best of a steward as I can for the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because freedom isn't free, right? The message of recovery that was given to me, somebody paid for it. Somebody was there to answer the helpline. Someone brought the literature into the facility where I heard the message of recovery. Somebody paid the rent for the home group. And how dare I think that I can just take, or I can just hang out here and not do everything in my power to make sure that there is Narcotics Anonymous here today and Narcotics Anonymous here tomorrow for all of us. And it starts with that unity. You know, it says that unity begins with that therapeutic value of one addict helping another. That's where it begins, that identification. So as we're in the hallways this weekend, as we're busily rushing through merchandise or maybe a little impatient in the registration lines of the restaurants, reach out, embrace the person next to you, hug the newcomer, hug the sometimer, hug the old timer. We all need each other. And I want to close with this from It Works How and Why, because this conveys to me more than I possibly ever could have to you in the last 20 minutes. Even in silence, the voice of our gratitude does not go unheard. It speaks most clearly as we walk the path of recovery. Selflessly giving to those we meet along the way, we venture forth on our spiritual journey, our lives enriched, our spirits awakened, and our horizons ever expanding. The quintessential spirit that lies inside each one of us, the spark of life that was almost extinguished by our disease, has been renewed through working the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. It is on this path, paved with the steps, that our future journey begins. Thank you.